God of grace, into the dry bones of our hearts, breathe your word. Into the deep place of our sorrow, speak your hope. Into our trembling, fearful hands, place your new life, pulsing with grace. Speak, Lord, for we are listening. Amen. A reading from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and the Holy One brought me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. God led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. The Spirit said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered. "O Lord God, you know." Then God said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as God commanded for me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then God said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of life. A reading from Romans. To set the mind on the isolated self is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the individual self is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's will. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are absorbed in self cannot please God. But you are not an isolated individual. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, though your isolated body is dead, being disconnected from God, the Spirit is life because of the gift of God's presence. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through God's Spirit that dwells in you. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God. Hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 11th chapter.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill, so the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill.
This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
Accordingly, though, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. After having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he spoke to the disciples.
Let us go to Judea again.
Rabbi, the Judeans were just now trying to stone you. Do you really want to go back there again?
Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him.
Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right.
Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.
Let us also go, that we may die with him.
We so want the story of Lazarus to be a story of life and joy and happiness, story of the triumph of God and the power of Jesus to heal. But it's a story about death. It's a story about loss and sorrow. And that disciple who says this stunning thing just now, that's Thomas, who says, let us also go and die with him. He gets it. It's about dying. He knows that following Jesus isn't just a matter of thinking some things about Jesus. It means going with him. And Jesus is going to Bethany, where Lazarus is, and there's a contract out on him there. And he knows, if you go there, you're going to get killed. But he says, let's go die with him. He understands that to follow Jesus means to surrender everything. Not just our eventual, final, real biological death, but all of those little deaths along the way where we're giving up things and control and having things the way we want them. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, talks about it like this. The cross is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering, which every person must experience, is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is that dying of the old person, which is the result of your encounter with Christ. As we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with his death. We give over our lives to death. Thus it begins. The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a person, he bids them come and die. It may be a death like that of the first disciples who had to leave home and work to follow him, or it may be a death like Luther's who had to leave the monastery and go out into the world. But it's the same death every time. Death in Jesus Christ. The death of the old person at Jesus' call. Listen as this story goes on, and you will see how Jesus does not rescue anybody from death. In fact, He's already made sure of that. He hears that Lazarus is ill, and he stays and doesn't move until the third day. 3 days. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. 3 days. Jesus was in the grave. 3 days. You have to wait between the disappearance of the old moon and the reappearance of the new moon. And in between is darkness. And God does not rescue us from the darkness. God meets us in the darkness. So notice how Jesus doesn't save anybody from sorrow or sadness. He doesn't come in and wave a magic wand and make it all better. He doesn't offer a bunch of religious platitudes. He creates a sacred space in which people can work out their relationship with death. He can just listen to Mary and Martha as they express their sorrow and their rage. You can just see them pounding on his chest saying, if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. You can hear him allow them to express their doubt and even their disgust. Don't open the grave, it's going to stink. He can allow Thomas to express his courage. Let's go die with him, even though Jesus knows perfectly well that when it comes time, Thomas will chicken out like all the rest of them. He will go and die with Christ only much later. Jesus simply allows us to work out what we need to work out in the darkness. But here's what happens. In that darkness, we let go. It's all about letting go. Letting go of our control. Letting go of our possessions. Letting go of having things turn out the way we want. Letting go of the illusion that we're in control. And then God gathers up all of that frailty and mortality, all of our failure and all of our weakness and all of our powerlessness, and transforms it into something new. I know this because I know that there have been many times when I have been rescued from suffering and it didn't change me at all. In fact, many of those times I was not aware of, and I'm still not. But there have been times when I have gone through the darkness, and in that darkness I finally found myself empty-handed. Maybe because I had the faith to set some things down, but as often as not, because they were ripped out of my hands and I didn't have the control or the power or the possessions or the ability. I didn't have the understanding. I didn't have anything. And in that dark place, God made transformation happen. There were things I used to feel, things I used to believe, and they oppressed me, they haunted me, they got in my way, they were my grave clothes. And it was only in those dark places that those got changed, and I don't feel or believe those things anymore. I've been set free. Now, it's not instantaneous and it's not total. The process goes on, but it happens in the darkness. It happens when Jesus can just stand there and be sorrowful with Mary and Martha and weep at Lazarus's tomb in that helplessness. Then something new happens. In the dark, in the suffering, in the death, there is transformation. But it's only when we go into the darkness, then the miracle. And this is a story of the darkness and that letting go from beginning to end, even after the miracle. Yeah, you get the triumph of God for one sentence. But then even after that, you listen. Jesus notices as Lazarus comes staggering out of the tomb, still wrapped up in his grave clothes, Jesus says, unbind him. Let him go. Now I've done my part of the miracle. Now you have to do your part. You have to let him go. You have to let him become the new person that he's becoming. You have to unwind all of those grave cloths that you put around him. And maybe he's also saying, unbind him. Let go of your attachment to him. Let him go. Let him go. And then the miracle happens. Listen.
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the people had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask.
Your brother will rise again.
I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.
Martha went back and called her sister Mary.
The teacher is here and is calling for you.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the people who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved.
Where have you laid him?
Lord, come and see.
Jesus began to weep. So the people said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it.
Take away the stone.
Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days.
Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone.
Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here so that they may believe that you sent me. Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth.
Unbind him and let him go. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.